This was supposed to be the day that Cody Wilson and his company Defense Distributed were to begin legal downloading of blueprints for 3D printed plastic guns. But as you've probably heard, a federal judge in Seattle blocked Wilson after a lawsuit from 8 states and the District of Columbia claimed that would be a bell that cannot be unrung. But hasn't that bell already rung? Nir Gershenfeld is director of the Center for Bits and Atoms at MIT. His new book is Designing Reality: What is the Impact If Anybody Can Make Anything? Full disclosure, I've been honored to be in his home where right next to the washer dryer is his 3D printer and other maker stuff. And Neil, you're part of a movement to get more of this out to people. And you say it's not that you're for or against printing guns, but we're all looking at this the wrong way?
Absolutely. 3D printed guns is scary, but all of the reactions are really misdirected. They're missing the point. It's scary. There's good things we can do. It's not what's being discussed.
So what are the good things we can do?
Let's start with what's the misdirection. This can't be controlled by passing a rule. That makes as much sense as saying the government is going to forbid file sharing.
Well, because, and let's just remind ourselves, Cody Wilson first put these blueprints out in 2013. He says they were downloaded 100,000 times then, so that's exponentially probably grown. He put them out on Friday because he was afraid they'd be blocked. 1,000 people downloaded them then. So this horse is out of the barn.
So the horse is out of the barn and the barn is gone. So you can't control it. But more than that, the other thing that's misdirected is current consumer 3D printers make really mediocre guns. Guns are easily available, but not just that. Making a gun is an easy hardware store project. You know, with a pipe and a little striker in a hardware store, you can make a gun.
Right.
Creating a gun is just a very, very low threshold.
But
that's why
the
coverage is wrong.
But is there something different because these are plastic, so they're not detectable as you go through like a metal detector? They don't have serial numbers on them?
Again, that's an easy hardware store project. And the not detectable, in fact, is a distraction as we move from metal detectors to millimeter wave detectors that can see them. One straightforward thing that's a huge loophole is ammo is harder to make than the gun. And ammo is really poorly controlled. And so if you look at access to ammo, that's not really part of the map.
But it's not going to be because we have a National Rifle Association. I mean, the president himself, when he said, I'm concerned about this, I'm consulting the NRA.
Right.
We're never going to control ammunition.
That would be the obvious thing to do in a coherent world. I'm not scared about 3D printed guns for all the reasons we just talked about. What is scary is synthetic bio, the idea that in your basement you could make a plague, a virus. Mm. That's much scarier. It's the same story. It's digital data turned into things. These are much more threatening things. What's worked so far to control the scary threat of synthetic bio is two things that are applicable to the guns. One is surveillance to try to look to see what's happening where. But the missed one is providing incentives to opt in. Rather than doing this by yourself in a basement and going off the rails, doing it in social settings. So you're familiar with, we've started over 1,000 community fab labs. All the time people come in to make guns. And what happens?
They do in your fab labs?
Yeah.
And by the way, you know, this has been one of your things. We've talked to you about this. It's putting all of this in more of a public communal place where people can do it together.
And so they want to make guns. They want to make weapons. They want to make mech warriors. And then what happens is they get integrated.
Wait, mech warriors?
Oh, your big suits you wear and march around and are bigger and stronger than you were. And in the social setting, they get integrated into a community. The community helps steer, provide oversight, connect to more constructive projects. And so there's really interesting legislation right now in the House and the Senate, bipartisan, to make a national fab lab network as in the national interest. In the same way we have universal access to communication and computation, this would be universal access to digital fabrication as just sort of a right of anybody in the country.
Yeah, but you know, you're acting as if a community can morally guide somebody doing something. Cody Wilson is somebody who's opted out of a lot of communities. He's not only the Defense Distributed founder. He's the man behind Hateron, which is an alt-right website for people like Richard Spencer, white supremacists, who've been kicked off other websites. Mm-hmm. So he's already kind of an alternate shadow, dark world guy. You're not going to get him to go to a fab lab.
He may not, but we've run these labs in shooting war zones. We've had them in Jalalabad, Afghanistan. We have them in Belfast and Derry. We have them in these places of intense sectarian conflict. And consistently what happens is people come in from the community and connect. And so there's always going to be outliers and they're going to get access to guns and no rule can prevent that.
Whether it's a gun or a plastic printed gun.
But statistically, we can deal with much more of the population. I mean, a great vignette of this is we have one of these labs on the Giza Plateau
in
Egypt. And during the Morsi riots, we were really worried. And we called alarmed, and they laughed, and they said the kids in the community who had no interest in sectarian conflict took the day off to go work in the lab. And I think that's getting to the heart of it. There will always be bad people who do bad things, and they'll get guns, and they've had guns for perpetuity, and we can't stop that. But what we can do is provide incentives to maximize the opportunity for people to come in to do this in social settings, not in darkness in the corner of their room.
Okay, we've just scratched the surface here, Neil Gerstenfeld. As we said, you have this new book, Designing Reality. What is the impact if anybody can make anything? Neil, Professor, thank you.
My pleasure, always.